If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump. This is the sometimes fitness show that your mama likes.
The all the time sexy show.
Sometimes fitness.
All the time sexy.
All the time sexy. We need to register that, Doug. Make sure you go that put that on GoDaddy.
Somebody already has it, dude.
Hey, GoDaddy was, you know what? Do you remember when GoDaddy first came out? Like the way they marketed?
Of course.
Brilliant, right?
That was brilliant.
Right up there with Axe. Axe was
brilliant. Like anybody even cared about getting a domain, but they made it sexy?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We need a commercial like that. We need a commercial like that for our show.
I would love to do that.
Just a random chick shows up.
Random,
gets naked.
Roller skating.
Mind Pump.
Yeah.
On the bottom.
I like it.
Has
I like
to be roller skating.
Hey, so
who are you here with?
Dude? I'm here. Who am I here with? Yeah. Who are you here? This is Sal DiStefano. I'm here with Adam Schaefer, Justin Andrews, and the great Doug Eggy.
The Doug.
He's got a new mic.
Doug, Doug the Spinner.
I have to admit.
Can we say that? The Doug the Spinner?
He's the spinner. He's the spinner from now on. last episode. You know what? I like these couches, guys.
Oh, this is amazing. Sitting
on. Yeah. We got
Let's talk about how awesome this is now.
Yeah, we got couches and we have a picture behind me.
Well, can we say that we were on fold-out chairs in a rickety table before. Now we got these custom mics that we don't have to use our hands. We can sit back and I may fall asleep.
I'm making fellatio.
If Sal doesn't come up with a good topic. If Sal doesn't come up with a good topic, I will fall asleep in this chair.
I know. Right?
You look comfortable.
I'm freaking.
It's got a little back support right here.
Super comfortable. Right
no, now. No. So I got a fun question for you guys. What would you guys be doing if you weren't in fitness? Or better yet, let's all guess what the other guy would be doing.
Oh, yes. Fitness. That's a better
You know what
idea.
I'm saying?
Yeah,
you like, gotta do that. Because what instantly comes to my mind, when as soon as I said that, the first thing that popped into my head was Adam would be a stripper. right away, it just popped right in my head.
That is obvious.
And that, dude, it's like, totally would be a stripper.
Yeah. Like what, Chippendale or like the Thunder?
He'd be,
kind of the Thunder.
Yeah.
The Thunder, right. The Vegas
guys? Thunder guy.
The Vegas guys.
The Thunder from down under.
You'd all of a sudden have an accent and...
But he sucks at dancing, though. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's right. He was trying to work on that, but he's too
good
embarrassed.
Point. Very good point.
Yeah. You still do it, though.
Very good point. What do you think, Justin? You think the same thing, too, about me?
Yeah.
That's a consensus, right? Stripper? Jesus.
Well, no. I don't know. Maybe... Yeah, so you're not real handy with tools and stuff.
Yeah,
so I can't really place you in a trade or anything.
Yeah, carpentry is not it for
No, I feel like you'd be some kind of like I don't know, not a motivational guy, but like
a demotivation. What?
What? I feel like you could coach guys on how to like get chicks. I think
is that a job?
Calling
no,
that.
You know what?
Yeah.
You got that wrong, dude.
No?
No, because Adam, let me tell you something about Adam's skills getting women. When you look like Adam, you don't need fucking skill. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, but
he's always giving advice on how to get
That's like the millionaire saying, hey, here's my formula that I got, I became a millionaire.
Yeah,
it's like,
I won the lottery.
It's irrelevant, but the fact that he's already there, right?
Listen, I've gone out with Adam. He doesn't need skills.
No, I have too, bro.
Whoa.
We were there.
Hold on. Let me defend myself. Let me tell both you knuckleheads.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to make him ugly. Let's like put makeup on him, fuck him up, make him wear some shitty ass clothes.
Right.
Give him like a fake fat body.
I will still show you. I will show you. I will show you mad games still. When I was a kid, bro, when I was growing up, I was, first of all, I was in high school. I was a 145 at 6'3". I had both my front teeth were crooked and turned in, and I drove a piece of shit brown Toyota Camry that had the busted out taillights.
It's like my life story.
It smelled like my mom left the windows down over the winter and they got all the rain in.
And you were a virgin till what?
Till 20.
Okay. Yeah, I rest my case.
By choice, bro.
Yeah, right.
By choice, dude. I signed a purity card. I was committed. I was committed. So... And at that point, bro, let me tell you something right now. You know what that does? It builds character, bro. I had to learn how to talk to girls. I had to learn how to talk to people, period. I was broke, so I was poor. I didn't have money. I didn't look the part. I was an athlete, but I wasn't like the athlete. I wasn't the quarterback. Yeah. I wasn't the star quarterback. I wasn't the star point guard. You know, I busted my ass for any sort of starting minutes that I had in any sport that I played. I wasn't gifted shit. My mom wasn't, my family wasn't tied into the school and like that. So, and you know, I was a popular kid. So that's how you learned.
You built your way up.
I built my character and then I built my physique. It took fucking 30 years, bro.
That's how you became the Poon Whisperer. Is that how you develop those skills? I feel like we could have a game. The poo whisperer. I feel like we could have a show.
Is remember that a domain we can grab?
Remember that Australian guy that would go sneak up on animals and shit?
Yeah, I feel like
Adam could do that.
The one that got killed?
But I feel like Adam could do that, but he'd be like the poon whisperer. Like, he'd sneak up and...
Oh, crikey.
Yeah, oi.
look at this that one right there.
Oh, look at the glutes on
this
one.
Man, you guys suck, dude. I can't get, like, a CEO of, like, a big company or something cool. Like,
I mean, that's too easy.
You'd be a stripper.
Yeah. I know.
He's just taking it down to that.
God, man.
Come on, man.
We could give him a fair evaluation. What's, like, okay, give him something, you know, fair.
Something fair.
Yeah.
Well, why you guys don't think of something fair? I will tell you that. Okay, so I do have the personality that I don't believe in allowing myself to go broke enough to where I'd have to get onto welfare. So I would strip before that. I guarantee I would do that. There's a lot of things I would do before that. Now, it's definitely not in my it's towards the bottom of my list of things that I would ever do. But if I was looking at
like, I got one.
If I'm looking to pay rent and I'm starving and I'm like, what do I do? This isn't working out for me. I'm not handy. Yeah, I'm not this. I'm not smart. I'm not this.
Yeah.
Let me figure it out. Well, fuck it. I put my physique together. I'll learn how to dance. I'll make a few bucks stripping. Yeah. I would do that. Yeah, I would.
I
would.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Why not? Let's what about Justin? What do you think Justin would?
We're sticking this.
But no, wait. Let me. No, I'll give you something else.
Thank you, Justin.
I think. Yeah.
Fucking.
No.
Dick.
Let's or not keep Sal. That. I think he would be like.
I can't wait till I get to tell Sal's.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the reason why you got to give him something decent. Because
my turn's coming around to get you.
I think he could be like a fashion mogul. Yeah. I think you got this like eye for. I don't know if it's because I remember you telling me this. Like, there's this formula that you actually have like an inside, you know, cousin or somebody that's giving you kind of the latest trends, and then he's rocking the shoes, and like you do a lot of research that's non-business specific towards fashion. I think that you know could have been a calling for you.
You are quite fashionable.
I do like fashion. I like that stuff. Which is also going back to the last episode about being gay. I would have been really good at that too.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have been really good at being gay.
Yeah.
You would have. It would have been excellent.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
so I was thinking for Sal. Sal.
Oh, here we go.
You look a lot like my uncle, and my uncle was a bus driver. He looks like he would be.
He's a bus driver.
He looks like he would be the funny bus driver who's just so friendly. Everybody comes in. He opens the door. He has a joke or a story to tell them about everything.
This is purely but, you purely said right? that to get back at me.
Oh, no, I didn't. God.
A bus driver.
You'd be. You know why?
No, I get lost.
He'd be a museum curator.
Oh, that's more realistic.
That's what I feel like. He would just be describing the shit out of like everything. You know, you're walking around, he's got like insider information about, you know, this era and this one. And
well, I would say
mammoths.
He has the politician side to him, which I don't believe that's out of his future. I think he's just young right now for that. I think the next 10, 15 years, that's a very good
possibility. Yeah, that's obvious.
Bro, don't say
he's got a mouthpiece.
I would
sure.
get shot. That's 100%. I would never get elected.
Well, you would not assassinate.
It'd be like Jesse Ventura or somebody.
I would piss way
gets
too many
up
people.
There and is like, I'm out.
No, I'd piss way too many people off doing that. Museum curators, actually, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, I could see you doing that for real.
I could actually see him even being like a college professor in a subject that he likes. I could see you teaching a class. I mean, Mr. Philanthropy over here and wants to help and teach and educate. I could see you choosing a subject that you truly are passionate and you love to teach, like, you know, and like poli sci. I could see you being a college professor and getting into that doing that. I could definitely see that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's actually probably what I would want to do if it wasn't for fitness.
Boom.
Some kind of teaching.
See, at least I threw out what I thought was real and true, and you actually agree with it. You guys fucking threw stripper.
I'm just having fun, bro. I'm just having fun with
it. It's okay. I'll be the butt of this joke. Yeah. It's all good.
No, we're gonna go back. We'll go back around. I'll say a more accurate.
You're so
run.
Much more than that.
But we gotta start. We gotta go to Justin now. We gotta say what he would.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
Bouncer.
Bouncer.
No, bro.
You'd be a bouncer at like a really, really high end, like the head bouncer of a really high end Vegas nightclub.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I could picture Justin.
Aspirations there.
I could picture Justin working for like a company like Disney. and creating, yeah, like creating like.
See, Adam knows me better than you. Yeah, I think.
And creating like characters and like creating stuff. Like he's got a very creative
being an Imagineer.
Yes, very. He has very.
Is that what they call him?
He's very
Imagineer.
Very imaginative. So he's very imaginative. He's very creative, and it pays a lot of attention to detail. And I think he has that vision side to him too. So you know, that's something to me that I just don't have any bit of that. And when I see someone who has it, I think that's really fascinating because I don't have that ability to, I'm a visionary, like in business and things like that. I can see that, but not with like the artsy creative side. Like I feel like he can see that with characters and things like that. So, you know, and Disney's a very, very cool company. So I can see him obviously in a higher position.
I want that job already.
Right.
See, you're mentioning
boom.
It.
Yeah.
Bam.
Bam. I'm two for two right now.
That's right on point. Well, you're getting serious. I mean, we could get serious.
Well,
here.
Dude, it's okay to be like nice, dude. You don't always think, God, jerks are cooler here.
Oh no, okay. So let's be straight. Give him one. We'll be nice. I could definitely see. Well, as an entrepreneur, you would be in some kind of entrepreneur business, which you already are. So that's kind of not fair to say. But you know, I would say some kind of. Even investments. I could even see you doing investments.
Okay, there you go.
Like a financial advisor.
I love money. I love
I could see you being a financial
good with
advisor.
Numbers.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. But see, that's not as fun as a stripper.
Yeah, it's not as fun. You're right.
I could see you dressing up like a financial advisor, showing up at a party, taking your clothes off, getting paid. Stripper.
Okay, so
I see him owning a sports team or something. Maybe.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my...
Yeah.
My
right? Can you see that? Yeah. I don't see that. Yeah.
Would love to do that. So, okay, so on the real, if I wasn't doing this, what I would be doing, I'd probably be stripping.
I told you. I'm on it.
Out of the park.
I'm just kidding. No, if I wasn't doing this, gosh, you know, I don't think I could do anything where, you know, you guys both said something that was for sure. I would not, I don't know if I could go really, truly work for somebody again. You know, I'd have...
screw that, dude.
It's tough, man. Once you've tasted the nectar.
You know, honestly...
Freedom.
An entrepreneurship is by
that
far
deserves a fist bump,
not for everybody. And everybody says they want to be their own boss. You know, everybody says that.
Everybody says that, but nobody wants to fucking do it. What did Ronnie Coleman say about lifting heavy weight? Everybody wants to be a bodybuilder, but nobody wants to lift no heavy ass weight. Yeah. It's the same shit when it comes to entrepreneur.
That's right.
You ask anybody about being your own boss, they're like, oh, it's great. You get more freedom. You get to do more things. You get to... Yeah, the reality is you got to bust your ass way more than if you work for someone else.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And you got to be okay with being a little clock puncher like that. You know, I have a really hard time doing that. And I feel like we all kind of the same way. We all have a type A personality that it's tough, you know. It's and I find the older I get, the more challenging it is for me, you know. So it would be I don't know if I could do anything where I went and worked for somebody. I'd have to create some sort of job for myself. You know what I did do for a little bit? I actually had a really good time doing this, and I wouldn't mind doing it again. I thought it was really cool. I had vending machines, and I had soda machines that I used to fill. And you know what? I enjoyed doing it. I thought it was really cool.
So you owned vending machines?
Yeah, I had some,
really.
Yeah, I had a few.
I've always wondered. Is that a lucrative business?
It can be. The key though, and the reason why I didn't continue to do it is it was something I just invested on the side. I had an opportunity first to buy one.
How much do they cost?
Well, a brand new one could cost you anywhere from $1,500 to $4,000 if you bought a brand new one. But I actually got a used one for like $500. That's why I did it, because it was a really nice Pepsi machine that was for $500. And I thought, okay, this is cool. At that time, I had another business that was seeing a lot of traffic. I had a business that where I was seeing 100 to 300 people a day walking into my door. And I thought, okay, this is perfect. I can buy this machine. I can set it up. It's only $400 or $500 investment. And then I'll see what this can turn around. And, you know, once I had it all set up and going, you know, it was, and I wasn't even doing it the ideal way, right? I was buying my cans from Costco, and I was turning around flipping them for a little bit.
Oh, so you were doing it gangster style.
Yeah, totally. So it wasn't even fully legitimate when I first started doing it. It was pretty much just to see if this is something that could be lucrative or that I could do. And I was like, wow, this could, if you had, you know, 20, 30 of these things running and, you know, a little route that where you pick up and refill, because you needed to refill about once a week. And every time you refilled, you probably picked up about $300 or so from that machine, which was about a profit of $150. So not huge money, but, you know, you got 10, 20, 30 of those suckers running around in a high traffic area. It could be really, really lucrative.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I just, it was such an easy job. It was, there's no overhead really. the machines are like, they run themselves. Like, I never really had no maintenance issues with them. I'm sure, obviously, if I had 50 machines and I'd have some sort of maintenance to deal with it, but very low maintenance, very low overhead, very, very little to deal with it. And I just love counting money. I love getting stacks of ones. So I used to keep all these ones. I literally had like thousands and thousands of dollars in $1 bills, dude. Yeah. I think for like,
and then the stripper habit came, you know, shortly
after. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe that's what kicked it off, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Here he comes, makes it rain.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite little ventures that I did. I could get into that.
I think people don't realize, like, being an entrepreneur, I mean, I left, you know, when I was in the fitness industry, I left a position making six figures and made shit for like 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's you're, entrepreneurs, we tend to be a little crazy because right. If you analyze it, if you really look at it from a numbers perspective, number one, the odds are you're going to fail. Those are the odds. Number two, the odds are you're going to work twice as much. Mm-hmm. You've got way more stress and, you know, shit riding on you because of maybe the money you've invested, the time. And besides the money and time, people don't realize you invest your heart right. into something. And when it doesn't succeed, or if it doesn't succeed, or even the thought of it not succeeding, is far more devastating than working for someone else and being like, I don't like this job. So it's a tough gig, but I think you're born. I don't know. Do you guys think you're born? Do you think entrepreneurs are born, or do you think that you can turn anyone into an entrepreneur?
No, I think you're born.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that you understand about yourself later after you get out of the school system, mm-hmm. because I feel like there really is no structure there for somebody that has the ability to start thinking and crafting their own ideas and a way they're gonna, you know, produce it. And I think that, though, that's sort of a way that it filters people, right? So there is no real manual. Like, there's nothing that you can just plop into and be like, I'm an entrepreneur. Like, you 100%, you know, dictate how everything is going to go, especially from the very beginning. So who you're going to meet, are you going to get a partnership, you know, what your company name is, like, you know, what does this mean financially? Like, is it going to put you in a bind? Like, you know, what kind of forms are you going to need? Are you going to, like, do legal right away? Are you not going to be, you know, worry about that, you know, later? Like, there's just so many things to consider that, like, there's no easy way to be like, hey, this is going to work out, you know, 100% right away for you.
No, that's a good point, because I've met a lot of people who've wanted to start businesses, and they've paralyzed themselves with preparation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, they plan everything out, and we got to make sure every risk is analyzed, and how do we do this? And every business, I hate to say it because I sound kind of like an asshole, but every business I've ever started, I kind of just jumped in and knew, you know, very little about what I was going to do. I mean, I know a lot about fitness, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean I know a lot about starting.
Well, that's what we all have in common.
Right.
I mean, I could guarantee that. Each one of us has that. That's what determines an entrepreneur.
Well, yeah. you said, I think Justin shared this quote before, was the, you know, the entrepreneur is the one who jumps out of the airplane and figures out how to build a parachute on the way down.
Correct.
The other way around is someone who has to have it all ready and prepared before they even go, and they never jump, you know? So that's kind of the mentality I think all of us have. And I think you've got to have that. Many, many times have I met master degrees in business and highly, highly educated men and women that when it comes to breaking down a P&L, writing a business plan, understanding all that, are just very intelligent. But then applying that is the piece that most people really have a hard time with, because it's that the work ethic it takes the fear that you have to break through. Like, you know, there's that fear of failure. There's that recognizing too that you're probably not going, like you said, how often do you make money right out the gate? I don't know a business. I don't know a business one that I started where I was making tons of money right out the gate.
Never.
I mean, most all of them, it was struggling, never. Not paying myself, watching myself go backwards, if anything, for the first part. And you know what? Lane Norton said it one time. It's one of my favorite things I've heard him say, which is, you know, success is the battle of attrition. You know, I liked it a lot too. I just feel like that's part of it is, can you weather the storm? Can you fail then get back up again? Can you fail again then get back up again? Can you get punched in the face and keep going forward?
Do you have endurance?
Do you have that ability to not be detoured because of all these things that are going to happen? And if you most people don't. They get discouraged really easy, and then it's so much easier to go back and punch a clock and work for somebody else. So
I had a text conversation with one of my cousins because he was talking about wanting to venture out and do his own thing, and he was asking me, Sal, how do you I have so much to lose, he was telling me. Meanwhile, he's a single kid, has no, doesn't have a family to support, doesn't really have major obligations. So I'm telling him, listen, you actually have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, basically the pain for someone like myself or an entrepreneur, the pain of not trying is more than the fear, it's stronger than the fear of failing if I take a chance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, believe me, and you guys feel this too. Look, it's scary as fuck. It's scary to go off and take a big chance, to abandon what you've been doing, to try something new. It's that fear of failure is there. You're human. But the fear of never trying, the pain of never trying is far stronger, because I'd rather sit back and say, damn, I tried and it didn't work.
Well, watching,
versus thinking about, like, what if I ever, that will kill me.
Watching your idea unfold through someone else's business.
Oh, I hate that.
Well, success resides on the other side of fear. That's just a fact.
And the thing about ideas, I always just get frustrated talking to people who hold on to those ideas like it's ownership. You don't own any of your ideas. You didn't do shit about it.
Yeah, right.
That idea becomes a collective really fast. Mm-hmm. Unless you move on it, you dedicate your life to it, you put all your blood, sweat, and tears into it, you make moves on it. Maybe that's not your idea, but it leads to a better idea. Whatever the case, you put your balls on the table and you say, hey, this is my idea.
It takes a certain level of confidence to know that no matter what happens, no matter how bad you fail, that you're going to be okay. That's part of it also. Like, I know no matter what, if I swing the bat as hard as I can and I strike out, that I'm going to be able to do something else. I'm going to get on my feet and I'm going to be okay. It's not going to crush me to the point where I'm dead. Nothing will kill me unless I decide I'm dead.
So let me ask you guys this, because I used to say this when I first started working in the fitness industry, and I was 20, 22 years old, that range. And people used to ask me, where do you see yourself in the next 10, 15 years? Like, what would you like to, what's your ideal job and what you'd be doing and stuff like that? And I said, I'd like to be working for somewhere around minimum wage, like at a coffee shop. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'd like to be so financially successful that money is no longer an issue for me and I would deal. And then I'd like to do a job that is kind of mindless, and I'm around people and I get to talk and do things like that. And I could totally be like a barista at a coffee, like a little hipster coffee shop.
Barista.
Or own a bar, like a local pub and stuff like that. And, bartend, manage it, kind of be around, but with no, and this is it, I'm saying down the road, completely successful, money is not an issue. You're not working this job for money. What would you be doing it cannot be an entrepreneurship type of job. You're a clock puncher. You're working possibly for somebody else. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
So, that's a great question.
I'd be like a fishing guide or something like that. Something cool, or I'm outdoors and,
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Right? My uncle did this in Hawaii, where he just rented out the scuba gear, on a beach in Hawaii. You like rent the scuba gear all day. Set people up all day.
That sounds awesome.
Right? Sweet. Like a job like that.
I think I would probably be a teacher. I would be a teacher.
Whoa, that's way too much stress.
No, I enjoy talking, and I enjoy telling people, I enjoy spreading ideas. I really enjoy motivating people, and I feel like, and I love working with kids, and I don't mean young kids, I mean like teenagers. I like motivating and teenagers and helping them, become more motivated themselves and inspired. And there's certain subjects I'm very passionate about, so I would enjoy sharing that passion with kids. So yeah. I probably would. I've actually volunteered and taught junior high kids, and it was definitely exhausting, but it was an absolute blast.
Okay, well,
I loved it.
Well, what about like? I mean, we never really answered for ourselves what our actual career would have been. We kind of tried to answer for each other. So
yeah, what would you do?
For me, I was thinking anything to do with the creation of video game or movie, right? Movie script, writing that, and
oh, cool.
I'm just super like, I just have all these stories in my head. That
so Disney,
play out,
Disney would be the perfect job. Bro.
Yeah, yeah, you nailed it with that. But you know, just to have that freedom to keep expressing myself, you know, creatively, and also music. So it is kind of like, you know, I could go in multiple directions, but I could end up in a sense sort of coming up with my own movie, with my own, you know, soundtrack, you know, all that kind of stuff in house.
I got a good question. What would be the job you would be worst at? Like, what would be the absolute last, you know, type of job that you could do knowing yourself?
A server. I'd probably be a pretty bad server.
Would you?
A tax accountant. Oh, I would murder myself.
Yeah, I'm probably. That's a good one. Accountant would be up there too, because I don't do like spreadsheets and
especially other people's numbers. Like,
oh yeah, I don't like doing my own, much less.
No,
I'm the guy who keeps a certain amount in his bank account and doesn't pay attention, dude. I keep it high enough to where it could go up or down quite a bit. Literally, this happened to me today. My girl runs all my bills and stuff like that, right? And I just paid the insurance for the Camaro for the year. And she goes, hey, I'm doing all the file, this and that. And she's having, it's a pain in the ass because you have to have pictures of everything and because it's the appraisal value and all this shit, right? So it's a headache to deal. And I had shut it off when it was getting worked on, so I'm firing it back up. And like a month and a half ago, when I went and picked it up, I got, you know, the temporary insurance put on right away. I paid for the whole year up front, gave them my card number, and they ran it. And I was like, all right, cool. So I hadn't done anything on it in a while. And I said, hey, did you happen to look in and make sure my insurance thing is going? I haven't got anything in the mail lately. So she followed up. She's doing all this stuff. And then she hits me up today, and she's like, they didn't run your card. I'm like, no, they did. I gave them this one. And you're talking about like a couple grand. I don't even know that's.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, that sucks. There's nothing worse than thinking that someone already charged a couple $1,000 on your accounted assets.
I hate paperwork shit. I hate paperwork stuff. Yeah. It was to the point, man, when I would manage gyms, it was like, I didn't even know how the hell I managed half of these gyms. It was like pure energy, enthusiasm, and leadership. I had zero like planner, my paper. I was like, oh, I needed like an assistant just to do that all for me because I wanted to go out and just make it happen. Hated that.
Let me share a story that I think is one of the most powerful moments I ever had in my career in fitness. I had the exact same way. And I was just like you, very young. I was managing already in my early young 20s, and I had a buddy of mine. And, you know, my boss had came in. We just came off having a great month. You know, we hit 100-something% of goal, whatever. And my boss comes in, and I'm excited that my boss coming in because I think he's going to come over and tell me what a great job I did. And he comes in to just tear me apart on all my fucking paperwork, dude. Just, it's a mess. I'm unorganized. I'm not running the 3-tier thing I'm supposed to. I'm not auditing these papers. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And I'm just like totally discouraged. And then I hear it is in the middle. It's like 5 o'clock prime time at night. I'm sitting on my desk and I'm like getting all organized and just like spending hours at my desk. My buddy,
crapping yourself out. Just getting crapped out.
Yeah, right. My buddy walks over and he stops. He goes walking by and he stops in his tracks to look at me. He goes, what the fuck are you doing on your desk right now? I said, oh man, Nagoya came in and he got me on top of me for this and that. And he's telling me I need to work on this. I didn't do that. And he sits down for a second. He goes, you don't listen to him. You listen to me. And I go, bro, that's my boss. He's like, listen, you're in this position at this young of an age for a reason. You're very good at what you do. He said, I don't want you spending time focusing on the things that you're not good at. I want you to focus on the things you're already good at and be great. He goes, you'll be so much more successful if you do that. And it was like this light bulb went off. Yeah. It was like the best advice I ever got in my life. And it's like the first thing I ever teach somebody.
It's freeing too, man.
It's very freeing because it's like, wow, really? You mean I don't have to do it? He's like, listen, if you continue to get better and better at what you're already good at, people aren't going to pay attention to shit like that.
Well, you can hire someone to do your
shit. Exactly.
Absolutely. That's where the whole outsourcing is such a beautiful thing.
And it was some of the best advice I ever got at a young age. And I continue to teach that. And I can't stress that enough to somebody right now. If you got a boss hanging over your head telling you to work on all the shit that you're terrible at, and you know you have strengths and things like that, work on your strengths, be great at them.
You know what's funny? That is the advice that people are giving now to reform education, because the whole education model is based upon teaching kids this well-rounded, you know, everybody needs to learn everything shit. Whereas in reality, what you should do is look at the child's strength and develop the hell out of that. Because Let's look at all the jobs in the world. Let's look at all the big careers in the world. Right. You're specialized in something.
Oh.
You know, whatever you do, you're not well-rounded and know everything.
Yeah, even unless, more so these days.
Absolutely. So that's actually the future of how people are going to be taught and trained.
Yeah.
Is focus on your strengths, become great at those, and the things that you fucking hate, which you'll probably never be good at anyway.
Somebody will be good at those.
That's right.
Yeah. Let them do that.
Because then you end up spending all this time on this, and at best, you're going to be mediocre at it.
Right.
If you're shitty at it already and you hate doing it, even if you plug away, yeah, you can make improvements. Absolutely, you can make improvements. But you'll just go from shitty to less shitty. You're never going to be great at it. It's not your strength. It's not what you're good at. Focus on what you're good at. Be fucking great.
Wow. Great, great advice to our listeners we got it from the stripper, the bus driver, and the bouncer.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.